Welcome to the LEGO Podcast, hosted by myself, Scott's Plastic, and Daily Bricks. We're going to talk about all things LEGO related on this new LEGO Podcast. And Daily, I believe you've got a topic prepared for us, LEGO leaks.
We got some LEGO leaks, Scott. All right, so we figured a recurring segment we could do on this podcast is talking about all the LEGO leaks that have recently really revealed. There's a lot of stupid stuff out there, too, so I don't...
To be expected, yeah, standard.
I don't know if we need to go over every single thing, but I picked out some of the
more interesting ones. Let's do everything.
There's literal, like, baby toddler sets. I think it'd be a little strange if we did that.
Oh. Yo, is that the next video on Daily Bricks?
Yeah, the Daily Toddler.
Subscribe for Daily. I can see the thumbnail already. Oh, no.
It'd be like a baby in a blue background and then, I don't know, like a crib. Oh, yeah, no, there's always an explosion. Yeah.
And a big arrow as well, just to make sure everyone's seen it.
Well, Scott, how are they supposed to know where to look at...
Exactly, you've got a spoon feed.
At the thumbnail, yeah, that's important. Dude, I swear, I have this one explosion, like, green screen effect I use in nearly every single one of my videos now. It's like...
Yeah.
It's
the same red arrow as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same two assets I use, and I am scamming whoever made them, because I will never pay for them.
It is for the free. Red arrow. The red arrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if you Google red arrow, does it come up?
Oh, it will. It will come up. But we're not here to look at red arrows, Daily.
Right,
we're here to look at live leaks. What even is live leaks? LEGO leaks. So share your screen with me.
I'm sharing my screen with you. I will share it with the gamers out here too. So
Batman.
Oh, it is not working. There we go.
Is that what we're working with? No. I can see it. It's a nice little Batman set. Although
yeah. Okay. So
Is it photoshopped or is that real? Because why is it not like aligned properly?
No, this is real. This is just LEGO being bad at box design. It is like crooked, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it just looks out of place. It just straight up looks out of place. Oh my god, you got a lot of tabs lined up. For
us. I'm loaded, dude. I'm ready. So let me give you a little tour. So this is r/LEGO leak. It's a really solid place to go, and they always have like detailed information, and they take down anything that's fake, and only certain people can post and stuff like that. So it's fairly reliable, and most of the stuff that they do post ends up coming true. So we've got ourselves...
April 1st, Daily. This was posted on April 1st. Did you just double check and you saw that, yeah?
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to click on this. This is just the main page. Your little gremlin eyes went straight to it. So I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Right, carry on.
All right. So I have my different tabs here. All right, so...
Ooh!
Yeah, isn't this kind of fire? This is sick.
Yeah, no, that is... I love a droidica.
Yeah.
I don't know what the post-it note is about.
Shout out to Golf Patrol, whoever... found this, I guess, wanted some clout off of it.
Oh, did he? And he thought that I know how to do this. Post note.
Yeah, yeah.
Good effort.
And the date, too. So there you go.
Nice.
So it's going to be 583 pieces. And it's, dude, this thing is sick. This is like very, when we were growing up, I feel like this would have been released.
Yeah.
This is a throwback.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Technic droidica.
Yeah, that is a throwback.
Yeah. And it comes
Phantom
with
like, Menace, yeah. Like, that's old school, bro.
Yeah, and this kind of set, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but they used to do, like, the Super Battle Droids, like, to scale kind of a thing like this. And I think they did a droidica, so I don't know, this feels very retro to me. But then it also comes with, like, a little placard, and since the 25 years of LEGO Star Wars or whatever, you get a little, like, exclusive... button thing.
Oh, cheeky.
Yeah, it's cute.
Nice.
And then
very cheeky.
Yeah, like a little baby droidica. You see that?
Very cute.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
So then there's also the pod racing diorama. Yeah.
Oh no, that's nice. I love a diorama when they've got like the also Golf Patrol's back on it again. when they've got the black border around it, it just looks so clean. It's just like neatly defined.
Yeah. Nah, this is actually sick. I don't know if I would buy this
fire.
Though, to be honest. I don't know.
I would.
You would? Okay.
I would.
Should we rate each
one? Yeah, but then there's not many LEGO. Yes, good idea. Right. Droidica. Out of 10, is it?
Is it out of 10 or are we doing like a tier list kind of thing? Let's do tiers.
Okay, no, let's
tiers
do
is
tier
fun,
list.
I think.
Yeah.
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 I'd give this A tier.
Well, it's difficult. Yeah, but it's difficult because we've not seen anything else yet. But I'm gonna go with you, and I'm gonna give it A tier as well because I like a droidica and it's well done.
Yeah.
So let's go with A tier.
Dude, it even balls up. I mean, you gotta give it. Come on.
Yeah, I know. A-tier. Yeah.
All right. The Lego diorama set. It's kind of cool. Like you could see that's like supposed to be Sebulba, the little stud right there, and then Red I guess that's thing, Anakin.
Right.
It's cool, but I mean. I don't know. No minifigs is always boring to me.
That's very true.
I'm a little minifig. I don't know if we should. Are we swearing on our podcast?
Daily, you are a minifig whore.
I was going slut, but yeah.
Right, either or. Yeah, no, I say B tier. I'm putting it in a B tier because it has no minifigures.
I'd be cool with B tier.
B for no minifigures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, nice, though. But it's just not got any minifigures.
Yeah. I think they put the prices at the bottom or something. Yeah, they do. So really? $65 for the droidica. I guess that's not too bad.
$59, yeah.
$80 for this, though.
Yeah, the problem with those diorama sets is they've just not really got enough, like, they've not got enough, like, utility. It's not, you can't use it in any other build. And it's, like, also those miniature builds, they're really nice little, like, things to have. But then, like, once you've built it, you can't then use it in any other builds. It's not like you've got a vehicle which you can repurpose. It's just there.
It's purely once you've done it. Display.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'll keep it a B tier, but I'm just the diorama sets I'm just not as excited about in general.
The,
I would say
the cost is bringing me closer to B minus. Like that $80 for that is kind of crazy, but that's just me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of little parts, but yeah. Next up, right. let's bring up the next leak.
This was just another.
great job.
Yeah,
love that.
Dude, I'm
love
really
that.
Good at this whole thing.
S-tier.
This is my favorite. Oh my S-tier. God. S-tier.
What is this?
It's the Minions. They built a banana car.
C-tier.
They built a banana
C-tier.
Car.
What is this? I don't care. It's trash, bro. What is this? C tier.
But hot take, Minions are so funny. They're so funny.
No!
Minions are hilarious.
No, they're funny when you're 10.
Bob
they're funny
and
when you're
10 Steve.
Years old.
No, they're funny for life, dog.
No,
it's gonna be $25 for a little
just
banana
knock
car.
Off SpongeBob. $25 for banana car. Daily, listen, it's getting a C tier. I don't care. Move on to the next thing. I've spent as much time as I want looking at this. Also, I've just realized people are gonna have to watch this podcast, aren't they?
Alright, well, that's why we need to describe what it is, Scott. It's a banana car and it is fire.
It is not fire. It's the most basic build ever. It is atrocious. Carry on. I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
S-tier,
move to the next
S-tier.
Thing. It's a stupid little banana car. All
right, we don't have picks for this one, so this is perfect for audio listeners. All right.
Okay.
So first of all, there is going to be a Barad-dûr Lord of the Rings set. Do you know what Barad-dûr is? It's like
not by name, but I will probably buy.
It's like the Eye of Sauron. You know, like that big tower.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know what you mean.
They're making a UCS version of that. It's going to be sick.
Okay.
Yeah.
18 plus display promo.
Yeah, so this... let me explain, Scott.
Is it got blood or what?
There will be murder. There will be...
Good.
Prostitutes Good. And... Well, okay, maybe not, but I don't know.
I don't remember that in Lord of the Rings, bro.
Yeah.
Is that the extended version?
That's just the 18 plus version. I mean, it's fine.
That could be fire. I mean, that build specifically would lend itself so well to like a Lego, like a Lego mock, like architectural style
no,
build. Like it would just like this.
Scott, what? You have to let me explain what it is because I don't think you understand it at all.
Well, hurry up and explain
it. Okay, so this is the Barad-dûr UCS. This is a promo set that is coming out along with the Barad-dûr. So you buy the Barad-dûr and you buy it on June 1st, you automatically get this free 269-piece Lego set in addition to it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, and is there any explanation to what that set is, or have we just got nothing?
We got nothing.
Right, then I can't exactly rank it. I'm moving on to the next one. I can't give it a rating if we have nothing to describe.
Here's the Barad-dûr set, Scott. Here we go. All right, so
okay.
You know, in retrospect, I probably should have reversed the order of these.
Yeah, I think that would have made a lot of sense, Daily. Can you show me some pictures of the Barad-dûr? Because at the minute I'm looking at text, and I would prefer not to be.
Okay. Well,
There we go. Thank you.
this is
Thank you.
someone's
Thank you.
thumbnail. I don't know. This is...
You 2024 leagues, bro. We're literally just recycling someone's content.
They posted
This is
this
scumbag
on
league.
Reddit. I don't know what they want.
Yeah, it's fair game. It's fair game,
Yeah.
bro. It's out there. It's fair game.
All right, so basically it's going to be... All right, let me show you... Barad-dûr.
Bro, you spelt that so badly.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
this. Oh, this is actually
Describe it to the
Lego right
people.
here.
Describe it to the people.
It's a big eye. It's, if you know the Eye of Sauron, it's the tower that holds the Eye of Sauron on top of it.
And the fortress at the base. It kind of reminds me of like it almost looks like dark elves from like Total War Warhammer 2 or something like that. Like
Yeah.
a big black fortress with spiky bits on it, and then a big tower in the middle with a big old eye. How are they gonna do the eye in Lego though?
I don't know. It could be sick though. These are all like Lego builds, actually, when you Google it. It's kind of funny.
Lego's just stealing mock creators' work at this point.
Yeah. So, okay, basically the reason I wanted to bring this one up is it comes with 10 minifigures. It's going to be $460. It includes Sauron, the Mouth of
Ooh.
Sauron, Nazgul, just one Nazgul. They should have included all of them. Frodo, Samwise, Gollum, two brown orcs, and two green orcs. Now, the thing, I'm gonna nerd out for a second, Scott. All right.
Just for a second. Just for a second.
I do not think they should have included Sauron in this set. And the reason why is because Sauron himself never appears in the books at all.
Yeah, no, he is quite literally, he is like the spirit in the center of the eye, is he not? Like he
Yeah.
isn't actually there,
Well, he has a physical being. However, like Tolkien believed that you should try and keep this ultimate all-powerful character in the shadows because it makes him more scary.
Nerd! Nerd!
Oh my God. Well, I'm
No.
just
Listen, I
saying.
appreciate it. No, I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. My thought on this is, I would buy that set, like just for Gollum. That's it. I'd buy the whole 160 pound or dollar set
Just
just for the
buy Gollum,
Gollum
Scott. Just buy him separately.
minifigure. No.
All right, moving
No, I think
on.
I'll take the whole set.
All right, we've got the
moving on.
leak. Do you know who Saw Gerrera is from Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah.
Star Wars. What's
Rogue
the movie
One?
called again? Rogue One. That
Yeah.
was one of the only good new Star Wars films, might I add.
No, I agree.
And
I
if anyone
agree.
disagrees, they are wrong. Okay, good. I'm glad that you
Yeah.
agree.
No, this, I mean, that movie was sick, and they're releasing a
Yeah,
Lego
it
version of
was.
him for May 4th. He looks sick. I mean, this is one of the best Lego minifigures I've seen in a minute. Even comes
It's
with like
good
a cool
armor.
cape.
Yeah.
There's like a
And
big.
his hair is good too.
Yeah, he's got like weird like macaroni hair.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah, he's got good armor. He's got a proper like armor chest plate shoulder pad type thing for people who are listening. It's just a really well done minifigure. There's a pretty good level of detail on it. The only criticism I'd have on that is there's no printed detailing on the arms, and
Yeah.
that's one thing that I think that Lego quite often just misses out on because that really can just bring it to the next level. Just that final bit of resolution and detail on a minifigure. Can make or break it. If you've just got blank arms,
Yeah.
it's just like, eh.
And on top of that, the other problem is that a lot of the times Lego doesn't include any cloth with their Star Wars minifigures anymore. So it's actually kind of nice that he's having his own custom cloth here. That just looks really
But
solid.
some of them are bad though. Some of them are
That's
just
true.
bad. That's the thing is like a lot of them are just really quite bad. And like they also that's the thing with the cloth as well, is that they don't age well. Unless you have literally not touched or used your cloth in any way, shape, or form, that thing will get absolutely mangled, destroyed, and abused in no time whatsoever. Or maybe that's just me. Or maybe that's just
No,
me. I
I
don't
think
know.
that's a universal experience when you were like a kid, like having this like
Yeah,
disgusting
yeah.
snot rag of like a piece of cloth.
Yeah, I painted all my Lego Star Wars minifigures. Like you would,
Yeah.
and also my little brother. We had an OG Boba Fett. And my little brother, like this is like 10, 11 years ago, not knowing the value of it. In fact, it probably wasn't even worth much then. It sold it for like 15 quid or something like that.
Was it like
Such a
the
shame.
Cloud City one?
I don't know which one it was. I
Okay.
just know we had one. I know we had one.
Yeah.
I don't think it was actually. I guess not, because I think we had Slave One. And
Oh, that was
so
the,
presumably,
I think that's like
no, we had two Bobas though, because we got one. I've got Jabba's sail barge as well, and I think we've got another, so neither of those are Cloud City, to be clear. But still.
Those ones are worth, I think, like 50 or 60 bucks, which is pretty good.
Right.
The Cloud City one is worth like two grand.
Right, next up, next
All
up,
right.
next up. Let's not spend the entire thing on.
What? Yeah. All right. I feel...
They haven't seen your webcam yet. They probably haven't seen your webcam.
All right, so this is Jabba's Sail Barge. It's the next UCS set that was announced.
Nice.
It's going to be $500 bucks for 4,000 pieces. Oh. It's going to include Jabba, R2-D2, C-3PO, Max Rebo, which people are very excited about because he's just kind of a meme now. Klaatu, Bib Fortuna. Gamorrean Guard, Hutt Slayer, Leia. So it's not going to include Slave Leia, probably. It's
that's a shame. I've got Slave Leia.
It's more than likely
yes,
going to
sir.
Be the one with her like in that mask thing from the beginning of the movie. Because I think
Babe.
Lego doesn't want to include bikini-clad Leia anymore, basically.
Boo! Lego is boring. We'll get onto this later. Lego is ruining things.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Dude, I have no idea what the hell a Solicious Crumb is. Crumb.
Oh, Solicious Crumb is, you know that stupid little like rodent thing that goes like...
Oh, that's Solicious Crumb?
Yeah, that's
so
Solicious Crumb.
Stupid.
Yes, sir.
All right, moving
did
on.
Did I just out-nerd daily? Yeah,
I
move
think
on.
You
move
did.
On. Ooh,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah,
minifigures.
This
yes.
is pretty fire. So this is what the Saw Gerrera is going to come in as like a bonus fig.
Why?
For no reason. Just cuz.
What?
It's really weird.
What? Why?
Like, do you know
in
like
a Phantom Menace set?
Yeah. And then
why?
ARC Trooper Fives, you know, the clone trooper?
Yeah.
This is already out, but he came out in a Tantive IV Darth Vader hallway scene set.
Why?
I don't know. They just don't want to match up the it's like a bonus fig, but it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know what I feel like? I feel like this is probably a strategy just to try and drive sales on a product that they think might underperform.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. That both this is a cool set as it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
it's got
Darth
Maul.
Maul.
Yeah, Darth Maul wouldn't underperform. Yeah, it wouldn't. It's not gonna underperform, will
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and it,
it's gonna be all right.
He's got like a little scooter bike. That's cute.
Qui-Gon Jinn's got a nice little like
yeah the cape.
Have they just put the cloth on the back on the wrong side, or is it a double sided cloth?
No, it's like a poncho. It's a poncho.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I remember now. Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice little poncho.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. No, that's nice.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I'd give that a. Oh, nice. I'd give it a solid B tier.
Oh, we forgot to review
like
all
particularly
of them.
Special. Yeah. No. No. But the rest of them didn't really have pictures
that's
though.
True.
It was kind of just descriptions for the most part. So I would put this in B tier. It doesn't stand out as like the minifigures are nice.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, the build itself doesn't stand out to me particularly.
I'd give it a B tier. They've done it before. I mean, it's the minifigs I would buy this for. Not the
Yeah, exactly.
The set.
And I don't think that's not, like, the racing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right, next up. What we got next? What we got next?
All right. Next up, this actually is from The Mandalorian. So it's the sort of... Did you watch The Mandalorian?
Yeah. But I don't recognize that black dude.
Okay, that's Kelleran Beck, who actually, the actor who plays him also played Jar Jar Binks.
was he in the latest Mandalorian? Which, by the way, the last series of Mandalorian sucked. But was he in that?
So it was just like a flashback scene of Baby Yoda.
Oh, is it literally the flashback? They're milking this for whatever they're making a set of a flashback scene to. Also, how many times they're literally like it's like feeding on a dead body, the carcass of Order 66. The amount of times that they just go back to that and feed on it, bro. Now they're making Lego sets of a flashback of Order 66 with a not Mace Windu, bro. It's literally I don't understand what they're doing
but
here.
Scott,
also,
it's
I'll
got
tell
a
you
lamp.
What this is. They're milking it for Baby Yoda. They're milking it for Baby Yoda. That's what they're doing.
Probably. But also lamp.
S tier.
Yeah.
S tier.
Dude, they literally... Okay, so first of all, this speeder bike has been in like 30 sets now. It is nothing new. The only thing new is the sidecar.
Honestly, C-tier.
Like,
and the lamp.
And the lamp. The lamp is sick. And also...
No, C-tier.
Clone
C-tier.
Troopers
I'm bored of it.
That have been released like many times before now. It and
Bored
basically just a Mace Windu with a different face is what
Also, I hate Baby Yoda. But Baby Yoda can die D tier. Moving
All right, moving on. I'll give it a C tier. All right. This is going to be cool. They're making a Dark Millennium Falcon.
For what reason?
I don't know. I think they're just getting real weird with it, man. But it's going to...
Yeah.
It's going to include, like, a white version of Darth Vader and then, like, a Dark Rey or something like that. It's going to be very strange.
Literally, like, why? Why? I just don't understand. Like, okay, so the last set was from a flashback to Order 66, and now this one is like plugging on like a little like vision from the news. Like,
I don't think it's a from a
like
vision.
A dark.
I think it's purely random. Like, it's not even a real thing.
Right, why not? Let's just make like a T-34 from World War II and put some Star Wars stuff in it.
That'd be sick. I'd buy that.
No, mate. Okay, this is why they're doing it. Because idiots like you are gobbling it up.
Dude, you...
Especially getting spoon-fed, bro.
You know what? It's going to cost $180. The number of people who are going to buy this is very small.
Wait, is that even Lego? What even is that?
It's just like representation of what's going to be included.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say.
So it's not actually what it is.
I was going to say, that does not look like Lego. Right, okay. Yeah,
but like a white Darth Vader that is likely never to come out ever again in the history of Lego, that figure in 10 years is going to be worth so much money. But Jedi Bob's coming back, Scott.
Literally, I just don't care. I'm struggling to articulate this, but like, why are they going down that route? There's so many things that could be made that haven't yet been made, and yet all they do is they recycle the same builds over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And they iterate those designs multiple times to just like squeeze out that last little bit of money off of it. And then they also, like, there's loads of missing minifigures. There's just an infinite amount of things they could do that are in the existing universe that would be really interesting and would sell well. And they come up with white Darth Vader in a black Millennium Falcon. Why?
And Jedi Bob.
Just why?
Okay. I'm gonna disagree with you. I think this is sick, and
because you're the target audience of like
Scott,
mental faculties of a 10 year
old. God, the alternative is you get a lamppost and a speeder bike that's come out 20 times.
No, that's my exact point. No, that is from a
or
flashback.
This. They're doing something unique. They're doing something interesting.
No, they're doing something that's just like, this isn't interesting. This is just, it's just a facade. It's a gimmick.
Heck yeah.
It's like, okay, fine. Let's do Darth Sidious in a white cloak. Let's do a white Mace Windu. She's like, why? Like, you sure you could do it, but what's the utility to it? There's no reason to do it.
Oh, you're
like,
so British.
You could
you're
do.
So British. What's the utility of it? Everything needs to be utilitarian.
Right. Listen, I'm gonna call you an idiot and agree to disagree, and we're gonna move on to the next one. I don't care. It's stupid. I want to see,
calling you British
I've
far.
I've said my piece. No, because I'm practical. I'm functional. I'm pragmatic. I'm not gonna shy away from that at all. I'm gonna lean into it. If anything, I don't need this tat.
Yeah,
utter garbo.
Let me gobble up my garbage. Let me slurp up my McDonald's.
The Americans, mate. Americans. They can't help themselves. Yeah. Anyway, right. I see a Jurassic Park tag. Click on that.
It's a photo.
Ah, it's great. It's text. It's text. Brilliant.
No, but
oh, you really got me wound up for this one. This one's gonna be great.
You have to use your imagination. I'm sorry that the Brits don't have one, but it's Bumpy the Buildable Ankylosaurus.
Does anyone else listening to this want to die, or is it just me?
All right.
Daily.
Well, all right.
Show me pictures.
This is the one we have pictures. An actual picture. They're making a D&D set.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'll come back down now. I'll come right back down. That's interesting. I like that.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, like, this is, you got a huge dragon. You've got like a little skeleton wizard and another wizard at the top. It's just goofy.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's creative. I think it's mainly based off of the movie that just came out with like Chris Pine. But I think this is a cool imaginative set. Like,
It is, and also I will add to that the thing that you can so with builds like that and like a lot of the like Lego architecture city builds that kind of stuff, they have increased utility because what you can do with them is you can just take those like fantasy minifigures out of it, remove the dragon and the floating spaghetti eye thing for whatever reason, and then what you've then got is you've then got literally just a medieval looking building with a cool tower, a nice tree, and a nice walkway up to it.
Yeah.
Like you could actually use that build in a medieval in like you could just put some medieval minifigures in it, and there you go. I mean, listen, we both do like historical Lego
Yeah.
stuff, so that's just my mind just goes straight to that. Every
Oh, I
time.
don't blame you
But it's
because
a nice build.
I've actually thought about buying this for the build. So,
Really?
yeah, well, I have an idea to do like a fantasy world Lego video kind of thing, and this would just fit that, you know, just so easily. So,
Yeah, I'm gonna do it first. Yeah.
yeah, good luck on that. Good, yeah. Yeah,
No, you're
with the
faster at
rate that you're uploading,
videos.
I think I'm fine.
Nah. Right, look at my desk. I got my desk behind me. Let's see. I've got a video in production here. It's a video which has got three Type 59 tanks, and I'm going to be doing a stop
Oh,
motion.
Japanese?
No, they're not Japanese. They're from another East Asian country, Type 59s. And they'll be driving down a road.
Are they Chinese?
It is possible. It's possible that the Type 59s are from that country.
Oh, it's Russian.
What? No. It's not Russian. It's Chinese. It's Chinese. What
Oh,
it
it
is,
is?
Type 59 is actually an
Oh, it is.
adaptation. Yeah, Type 59 is literally it's an adaptation of the T-54, I believe, or maybe the T-55 that's been modified to like Chinese specifications and then has been called the Type 59, presumably in 1959, I'd imagine. But that's neither here nor there. That will be an upcoming video, which will be very funny, I hope.
All right.
But listen, we've done enough live leaks. Show the people your webcam.
All right, we're back.
They haven't seen you in ages, and I'm gonna stop watching your stream
Hello.
as well.
All right. Oh yeah, you can stop
Right,
watching my stream.
and now I'm going to try and figure out how to stream to you because I would like to discuss talking about this Type 59 thing. So I don't know if you guys know, but Lego recently purchased, I believe this is true, that Lego recently purchased Bricklink,
Yeah.
and then has immediately ruined it. Literally, let me, I'll share my screen with you,
All
and
right.
I will and then I will
I think they bought
share
it
it with
a
the viewers
while back.
also.
I'm not gonna lie.
Did they? And it just took them a while to ruin it then, okay? So I'm gonna just show people this, okay? So here, I used to be able to find like, oh, error loading models. Okay, I can't even load models apparently. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
They've entirely okay, no, we're good, we're good, we're good, we're good. Okay, so what they used to have in this, can you see this? You can see all this,
Yeah,
yeah?
yeah.
So this used to be an incredible place to find like military kit, and they used to have on Bricklink a military section where you had a whole load of World War I, World War II, just anything military up to modern vehicles, all that kind of stuff. And I'd been building my Type 59s based on some specifications that you could find in here. So you can see trains, you can see cars, you can see loads of interesting vehicles.
Yeah.
And then if you type in like World War II, they're systematically removing World War II items. They're like removing vehicles from like wartime periods because it doesn't fit their icon, like their brand's image or iconography or whatnot. It's just like,
Oh.
but why? Like it's a massive market. Like it, literally, look at this. There's nothing left. There's literally, what is this? What is this thing here? And they've also got, okay,
I
they've got a
think,
couple of items left. There used to be tons here. They've
yeah.
ruined it. They ruined it
Well,
all.
okay, so there are other websites, you know. Like
Okay, but my point is that so I'd been using instructions from here. So like so on like here, I'd gone on and I'd been like working through instructions. So I bought three Type 59s to build, which cost like hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and I was working through the instructions, and then they removed the model and the instructions from the website
Oh,
after I'd already bought it
you
all.
didn't
It's
download
just like,
them?
well, I didn't think I would have needed to, because they were all on the
Okay, that's fair.
website.
Yeah, I mean that really
Yeah, so
that does suck. I mean that's really bad. But did you hear the other part about Bricklink that is also kind of a disaster?
no, I didn't. What's that? Oh, because they got like scat. They got like there was a massive like breach, and everyone lost their data.
Yeah, there was a huge hack. Like really, really bad. And I guess that they were being held hostage for a while. And people were
Yeah, I got
basically,
the emails.
people were like, oh man, they need to pay like $50,000 to get the website back, which in the grand scheme of things is not that much for Lego. But obviously, if you do that, it sets the precedent that like it's okay to do this, you know?
Like if for a company that kind of size and taking it over like that, like I don't know, I don't know how it happened or what happened, but yeah, that is without a doubt problematic. But like, yeah, I don't know, like it's such a good resource because obviously Lego don't produce anything military, and obviously, so for those of you who are new to the Lego podcast, which is all of you
It's
because
brand new.
this is episode one. Great. I see
We're
you got
new
our
to it,
commentary
bro.
skills. Still need some work. But if you watch Scott's Plastic or Daily Bricks, you'll see that there's generally speaking a theme of historical based content. It's all most for the most part got some sort of historical spin, or at least like military spin in some way, shape, or form. And so it was a really, really good resource because you could add, because that's where you get the majority of your parts from anyway, just because Bricklink is the go-to place. Like it was a really good way to like just really easily in one place like get all the bricks you needed for your builds and for your videos. And just having that resource cut off was like such a thing that I relied on a lot for my like video making process. And just having that resource just cut away like that for literally no reason. Like, why can't you, like, it's not like they're selling it themselves. Like, fans are submitting like military mock recreations. It's just, why get rid of it? I just don't understand like the thinking, but like it's just like they've just moved into a space and just destroyed a market on the website. I just don't understand why.
Yeah, especially when it's like
Daily, sympathize with me.
it's not even directly related to, I mean, it is Lego's website, but it's like people don't think Lego when they think of Bricklink, they think of like a place, it's a marketplace, you know? And I don't think anyone would be like, "Oh, Lego's promoting war on Bricklink." You know? It's just kind of stupid.
It's corporate marketing teams, mate. It's this way. It's just like modern day corporate marketing teams. It's like, oh no, we can't have this.
Oh,
It's just like,
my heart can't take
ugh.
it. War? To think
Ugh.
there's history?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, fine. I totally understand if Lego doesn't want to sell products themselves, but like taking over a company and then just destroying an entire marketplace within that market economy. It's just like, it just seems like you're just going to rub people up the wrong way. And also, imagine for a second if you were somebody who had spent a significant amount of time using software to upload and like upload a build to that as a fan of Lego and as a fan of history or military stuff or just vehicles in general, and then it just gets like randomly cut and taken down for seemingly no reason, and it's entirely out of your control.
It's absurd.
Like,
I mean, it's kind of a disservice to the people buying it, like you and the people who created it too. I mean, there are other websites that you can link to Bricklink, so you can still buy all the pieces you need. So like the service can still exist. I've used it a couple times with JD Bricks has his own website where he uploads build
Yeah, I've used
schematics.
that,
Yeah, and that's nice.
yeah.
And then there's also other like just full service websites where people can upload their creations and it's not owned by Lego, and then you can convert the price list over to Bricklink. So it still exists, but it is frustrating that the one-stop shop for it is now just gone. Like, it's just
Well,
a shame.
speaking of this kind of leads me nicely onto something I wanted to like discuss briefly. It's like you and I have had many conversations. Of course, we've both got like growing Lego channels, and have like a very similar kind of like genre and like theme on each of the channels. And multiple times we've spoken about like creating our own minifigures. And speaking of like JD Bricks there and like what he does with us, like his instruction manuals and that kind of stuff, like I'm sure at some point in the future we'll produce some like Lego minifigures and some build kits and instructions and stuff like that in future as well. Like that's something I really, really, really want to do. Like it quite excites me. And it seems to me, so here's what's confuses me again with Bricklink. Okay, so say for example the Daily Bricks profile picture or the Scott's Plastic profile picture, the profile picture I think that we merged in the Lego podcast profile picture itself, those two minifigures, let's say for a second we make those. As far as I'm aware, Lego actually allows you to do that because you're purchasing raw Lego components, so it is still ultimately driving traffic towards their business. Now, here's where I'm confused. So if they allow people to print on existing Lego products, if they allow you to print World War II minifigures with headshot wounds, like dead, like blood pouring out of them, all that kind of stuff, that's all okay. But on Bricklink, you can't have a T-34. That confuses me. But let's get away from Bricklink though, and let's get back to like producing our own minifigures and our own build kits. Do you think that's something that we could feasibly do in the future?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. I've done my own minifigs before, and I basically just hired. I did limited runs, like 100 or so, and just hired
And
someone
how'd it
to
go?
print. It went well. I mean, they're all gone now. So they sold, like, and they were good products. People liked them. But I think the one thing is that it gets without your own printer. You have to use a middleman. And that's where the costs start adding up, is that, if we had our own printer, we could sell it for a really good price, but using other people then creates this extra step where things get really expensive, you know?
But the counter to that though is like, and I think I've said, think I've suggested or had this conversation with you in the past, is that like, the reason why I think like it's like basically, if let's say for example, your minifigure collection is like a massive hit, right? And you're selling loads and loads of products, will you then just end up spending all of your time packaging and selling minifigures, like and shipping them? Instead of actually creating the content. And so the kind of the attitude I have towards like my channels is I try to like automate as much as I possibly can to allow me as much creative time as possible. Because the more creative I can be, the more I can create content, grow the channels, and be as interesting, energetic, and as engaging as possible. That grows the audience, which then grows the market for the product. But if you just spend all the time on the product and the content suffers, then the overall actual demand for it will drop as well. Like I'm just concerned that if you were to produce your own minifigure, you just spend all the time just shipping them.
I mean, I have my own Lego store, and I usually get one to two orders per day. And I say on the website, like, very small team working on this. It's going to take me 3 to 5 business days to ship this out to you. So if you're expecting next day shipping, it won't happen. And so the way I operate it is, the orders come in, and I pre-make all the mystery bags and stuff like that. Like, I'll show the camera now, but I have like a billion little right now Clone Army Customs minifigs that are like for the rare tiers and stuff like that. And so I toss them into little red baggies as the rare bag, and then I have a bunch of well, this is like a naked minifigure, but like, for example, this would be like a common. It's like a, a $2 or $3 minifigure, and then there's the uncommon, which is usually like some other Star Wars fig or like Marvel, DC, something a little bit more expensive. And there's like prices that I align so people get what they pay for. But I have it all pre-built. Like, I'll spend one day just building a crap ton of them, like a month's worth of them. And then the day it comes that I'm gonna go ship them out, I just toss them all into boxes, along with like some accessories and stuff like that, tape it all up, ship it all out. Like, for me, it is maybe an extra 2 or 3 hours work every single week, which it's like, if I wasn't making any profit off of that, I wouldn't do it. But luckily for me, I have some people who will sell me their rare minifigs and stuff like that, for at like basically at cost for them. Like, they produce them, they print them, and they have the helmets from Clone Army Customs and stuff like that. They'll sell it to me at like a dollar markup per fig, but because I buy 300 of them, they're okay with it. So the profit is there for me, and people get something that they want. And so the work actually pays off, but you're right. Like, if I was looking at like, not much profit at all for this, I probably wouldn't do it. Like, I need at least minimum wage pay for this.
It's just like for me, like I just feel like for running the main channel and the Lego channel and now also doing this podcast channel, and for those of you watching who don't know, I'm in the process of training up to join the British Army Reserves, And so like I'm just trying to make sure that everything is automated,
Yeah.
because the more things that I bolt on to my existing schedule, just the more overwhelming it becomes. I don't know, like with your channels, like you obviously upload slightly more consistently than me. Like, do you ever feel like you're on top of your work?
Yes.
Really? What does that feel like?
I mean,
what does that feel like?
There are some weeks where I feel very on top of it, and then there are other weeks where I feel very not on top of it. So I get both feelings. Like, I mean, it's just like when I hit, when nothing goes wrong, I'm able to edit everything smoothly. The timeline is perfect. There's no hiccups. That's like, okay, that was a good day. That was a good week. Whatever. This week is one of those weeks that's really bad. Like, I've still got videos to make, you know, for the entirety of the week. I have nothing ready at this point. And I have a bunch of other, like, personal stuff I have to take care of, like insurance company stuff that I was telling Scott about earlier, like a bunch of stuff that I have to do. And so right now I feel very behind, but it's like, you know, you just kind of grind through it and it'll be fine. But other weeks I'm like, oh, this is easy. Like, I'm doing great. But sometimes that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I just like I think I fall for the issue, like particularly with the Lego channel as well. Like, I'm you know what I'm like. Obviously, we've been friends for years, and you know what I'm like. I like I've got like an eye for detail, and I'm quite a perfectionist, but probably to my detriment. And I can just spend so much time obsessing over the detail, getting the camera angles right, getting the right cinematics, and like creating a whole script, and just probably in reality overcomplicating stuff. And so what ends up happening is like whenever I in theory would have free time, I just fill it. Like it's I can't remember, there's a law for it, but it's like, and so I just never am at a point where I feel like I'm actually on top of my work. Yet I am still what I would consider to be like an incredibly productive person.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Like I just I don't know. I'm just like
I mean, you seem
struggling to stay on top of it.
When I'm talking to you, you're always doing something. I think you are incredibly productive. But I get it. It's like if you have a gap in your day, you fill it with more work. Like, you don't take a break and you're like, all right, I can chill now. You're like, okay, what's the next thing? Or what, you know, can I do something more? I'll share my screen with you. Cause like I've been doing the same thing for a while right now when it comes to thumbnails. Like, I have been going absolutely crazy on thumbnails to my own detriment. So I tweeted this out the other day.
They're good, yeah. Yeah,
I'll make it so people can see. There we go. Like, this isn't even it. I have 15 iterations of this same thumbnail for the same video.
Yeah.
And so, like, I started with, like, oh, a little minigun dude and, like, some nuclear bombs getting dropped from bombers. And then I was like, okay, but this looks weird, like, the bombers. So I changed it.
It's not got very good depth.
Yeah, I changed it to like a nuke with some sparks in the front and then like a gas mask guy. And then
it's too much yellow.
It's a lot of yellow. So there's also a blue version that I used for a while too. And then also I changed this guy because the guy on the left here looks more like a minifigure, you know, versus this guy who could be like an action figure.
Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't look Lego.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah. And then I was like, what if I scrap the whole side panel thing? And I just like make it like a very cinematic movie poster type deal.
You see, you made one mistake with this, though. You made one mistake with this. And the mistake is the fact that you've put an outline instead of like an outer glow on the guys behind. And so like, so you missed an opportunity to get depth in there. Like so basically like for example, you know, like the harsh, this thick, dark outline on the black guy on the left and the guy with like the ghost mask on the right, behind the front minifigure, it actually pulls them to the front of the thumbnail, and so they kind of almost feel like they're like weirdly in front of like the World War One minifigure, whereas you kind of want to layer it to get that depth. I would have tried to put an outer glue on it instead and make it slightly smaller and less prominent. But still.
It's actually funny because I was talking to Republic Studs about this because we were just talking about thumbnails in general, and he was like, I hate shadows on minifigures. I think it looks bad in thumbnails. And so I was like, oh, I'll use stroke then, which is the outline. And
Right.
And that's the reason I did that. But then they all blended in too much if they all had strokes. So I made the front one shadow. So it's funny that, like,
right.
I mean, you're completely right. It does add less depth to it. And it makes it a little bit more confusing for your eyes, I think. But it's funny that different creators have different ideas of what looks good, you know?
It's here's the interesting thing. So it's an interesting balance when you're creating thumbnails between what looks good and what catches your eye.
Yeah.
And so there's always that trade-off that, like, you can obsess too much about getting it to look perfect, but then it's maybe something more about what catches your eye.
Yeah.
So, like, for those of you who don't know, like, this is why I go turbo nut. So you know how I'm giving Daily criticism on, like, the thumbnails here? Like, I often help Daily with thumbnails, and Daily helps me with titles, because I am incapable at writing a title that is not just absolutely descriptive and boring and dead. So we have, like, a really productive productive relationship in that regard, trading skills and assets and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But what I would say, like, with this one here is it's just a lot of yellow and not enough depth, so nothing really stands out for me.
Yeah, that's where the next one came in, where I was like, this,
yes, better.
Yeah,
better.
I was like, this is disgusting, this is, like, too much. So then I changed
it
to
bad.
This.
It is bad. Yeah.
Which is better, but it's, like, I think cinematically and eye-pleasing, this one is cool. I like this. I think it looks nice. And it's, like, something, like, I would have as, like, a background to something. Like, I think it looks neat and fiery, in my personal opinion. But then this is something that people will click on, because it's bright, it's colorful, it's ADHD-brained, like, you know? So...
I, to be honest, I think the color balances are better on this as well. Just in terms of, like, the last one, like, there's so much yellow.
Yeah.
That, like, your eyes aren't really drawn to any one specific place. Whereas the next one, the contrast and the distribution of color is much clearer, which allows the individual figures to stand out a lot better.
Yeah. No, I have another one too. So this is a good segue, actually, because I had another thing I wanted to talk about. So, like, then I made then there's this one where there was, like, a city getting bombed.
You haven't showed us it yet. Can't see it.
Oh, shoot. Wait, yeah. You can't, but they can.
Technical difficulties. No, I can't see it. They can. Yeah, oh, yeah. Sorry. They
How
can.
Do I just yeah. share my the whole screen to you?
So when you click share screen, see how it says applications or screens? Yeah, click screens and select the screen itself. Yeah, there we go.
Still showing it. There we go. Okay, cool. Yep. Gotcha. All right, so I made this one.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
You hear me, Scott?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Okay. Loud and clear.
I made this one too, which is just, like, garbage. This was a very drafty one, not something I was actually going to use.
Yeah.
But then there's this one too, which I might test out.
That is the best one by an unbelievable margin.
Yeah, I thought this was really
good. Please use that one.
Yeah. Well, so that's what I'm... Yeah. Let me show you something here. So this is interesting. This is called thumbnail tests, which is A-B testing.
Yeah.
It's coming to YouTube at some point, and it's being tested with, like, bigger creators. Like, I know Blitz has it. Mr. Beast definitely has it. Different creators have access to this tool already. Smaller creators like us have to use janky thumbnail test things. So I
explain the tool to the people.
What?
Explain the tool to the people so they because they probably don't understand what you're talking about.
So basically, I've uploaded three different versions of the thumbnail to this website. And periodically throughout the day, this website is going to change not only the title, but the thumbnail of the video automatically for me. And then it's going to collect things like the click-through rate, which is how often, if you see the thumbnail, you click on it, the average view duration, the views, the number of impressions that it's getting. It's going to give me all of that data over the next week of each different thumbnail. And then I get to decide which thumbnail I am going to end up actually using for the video.
Very cool.
So, in lieu of being able to actually do this on YouTube, this is something that MKM, who is another Lego YouTuber, he did, like, building every Lego Minecraft set ever, which is an insane video. It's like 180 sets. He put me onto this. Yeah.
Right.
So that, I mean, it's just an interesting tool that I'm very curious about seeing how it works and seeing if it actually is going to, like, help me with my analytics or not. I mean, of course, once YouTube...
I would imagine it would.
Yeah, like...
I would imagine it would, like, purely as, like, a... Purely as a result of just learning what works and what doesn't. This is, like, an optimization thing, so you can kind of spot trends and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I actually wrote my... I wrote my dissertation on this, so... my degree was industrial design technology, and dissertation was on visual attention modeling software. So basically, like you could upload an image, and this algorithm would try to determine how visually striking the image was, as a result of like differences in blue, yellow color, red, green, contrast, text, facial features, all these different data points to try and determine how visually striking or how likely somebody's eye is, mm-hmm. and then it would also produce heat maps for you based on that.
Oh, wow.
It was really, really, really interesting stuff. And the fact that YouTube is going down this route is interesting. However, there is a caveat. Because YouTube is going to introduce this tool, or, you know, if they introduce this tool so you can test multiple thumbnails at one time, it's interesting, but also could just mean that now instead of having to make one thumbnail to be competitive, we now have to make three thumbnails for every video.
See,
that's the downside.
The thing is, like, for Daily Bricks, I'm fine with that because I make four or five, like, as you can see, I make a billion versions anyway because I'm like, it's not good enough. And, you know, these videos I've spent 10 hours recording and editing anyway. I want it to do well. Like,
yeah.
And so for these, I'm like, that's fine. For Daily Tactics, I have no interest in making four or five thumbnails. You know,
no.
I'm uploading daily. Yeah. I want the first one to be good. Like, so you're right. Like, it's like, at what point is it creating too much extra work for certain channels? And if everything's so hyper optimized, there's no room for growth for smaller creators or creators who are not good at Photoshop and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of just makes it, it could potentially just make it more like less creative. And, like, you know, for example, the risk that they run is, like, you know, the Mr. Beastification of YouTube, where, like, Mr. Beast has obviously developed this incredible process that's really, really good at catching people's attention and keep people engaged for extended periods of time. And now there's just, like, so many channels that just do what he does now.
Yeah.
And so then there's less creativity and identity for, like, or individualism, rather, on each individual channel because everyone just does what he does. I think this runs a risk of doing that, where basically people, like, find out what the most formulaic, like, visually pleasing thumbnail is, and then just everyone does that. And then, like, there's not really any creativity in that after that point. Like, I'll quickly share my screen to, like, show you, like my...
Just for a point towards that, I think the problem is if you don't join, you die. You know? You have to adapt.
That's it.
You have to do it. Because I would be very content to go back to my, you know, older method of making thumbnails where I'd do one thumbnail and I, you know, it's what was cool to me. But problem is if I have 10 other people all uploading on the exact same day as me, I need to stand out. You know?
Yeah.
And I need to do everything I can to have the colors right, to have the saturation right, to make it so people are interested in clicking. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that kind of speaks to two things. That speaks to, like, a problem with the algorithm on the whole, in that, like, it doesn't create enough room for people to kind of, like, break out. But two, I think it also kind of speaks to slightly just the problem as a YouTube creator in, like, the modern meta anyway, in, like, the current iteration of, like, the YouTube grind meta, is that, like, you basically, if you want to grow, you're essentially, like, you can't just create, like, the personality, like, the personality and the character in the video that you want to see. You kind of have to do what is going to perform well, which crushes, like, it crushes creativity, but also it means that YouTube ends up becoming just this never-ending cycle of just micromanaging and improving 1%, 1%, 1%, which is fine, but it just means that you end up, it just becomes such a grind, man. Like, me, for me in particular as well, because I'm a perfectionist, like, I just end up spending unbelievable amounts of time just, like, on, like, the smallest little bits of detail and all that kind of stuff, all just to try and make the video that a bit more engaging, and it saps the fun out of it, is what I kind of find, and then that's a problem, because I don't know, it's just like this never-ending cycle of trying to refine things, And then like trying to increase the production quality, I think, is the important element there. Trying to get the
Dude,
production quality as high as possible,
it's not
but it's
only
difficult.
that, it's also it distracts me from the ideas I actually want to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
Yeah.
ideas I have written down that I'm like, that would be really fun to make. And it's something
Yeah.
I would be engaged in, and I think it would make for a really good video, but I should really do this other topic that's proven to work, and people are definitely going to click on this. I'll be a little less interested in it, but people will be more interested in watching it because I know I can market it properly. Like YouTube,
D-Day.
yeah, D-Day,
D-Day.
exactly. A millionth D-Day video always does well, will perform. Versus
Yeah.
doing like, Lego vampires or something fun, something
Yeah.
quirky that like will be neat.
Yeah. I think YouTube needs to add in some sort of like randomized element to the algorithm where like where instead of just like being like absolutely down the middle raw on like just like click-through rate, average watch time, some sort of random element where it will just every now and again it'll just push another video just a little bit further and see if that catches, not based on the click-through rate, but based on purely the average watch time. Because obviously it uses like a combination of click-through rate and average watch time, but a lot of the time, like the video might be really engaging and interesting to the viewer, but just because they didn't click on it, they never get that chance in the first place. So if it's not getting clicks, it never gets pushed out even to start with. And so having that random chance for a video to get pushed a bit further, and then if it does well in average watch time, then YouTube pushes it even further. Just that little like thing just might allow some unique creators to emerge, because I've been grinding this for three, coming up on 4 years now. And you've been doing it even longer than that. And I guess at this point, I would say we're both relatively safe and established. But I remember, like it was yesterday, what it was like trying to get noticed and trying to break through the wall, the ceiling. And it was just unbelievably difficult. And I think what it does is it stifles competition and creativity on a whole, because it's so difficult to get noticed to begin with. And what I think we want to avoid getting to the point on YouTube is I think we want to avoid having like five channels that just like at the very, very top that nobody can get past. And that is exactly what Twitch is. And you can see how much of a problem it is on Twitch. New discovery on Twitch is an absolute barn fire. Like it's just the established Twitch streamers, and that's it. Nobody else has a chance. I think YouTube needs to be very careful to not fall for that trap.
Yeah, I mean 100%. I mean, the thing is, old YouTube used to be really easy. Like, I was only
Yeah.
involved in old YouTube for a little while with my channel Daily Gaming, but I had terrible production quality. I had really bad videos, but they would still get seen. Like, old YouTube was the Wild West
Yeah.
where almost no one had good production quality. And if you did, you were kind of a unicorn. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
So the bar was so low that almost anyone could gain views, gain subs, gain whatever. The bar has been raised too high now, I think. And actually, Mr. Beast did an interesting tweet the other day where he was like, I mean, like, I think he's kind of an Elon Musk-esque character to me now a little bit. Like, I think he's a cool dude, but I
Right.
also think it's kind of all about image and all about like trying to be perfect in everyone's eyes and stuff like that. Like, he's not my favorite creator just because I don't feel super authentic about him. So he was tweeting basically like, I found this weird thing. Like, if you actually slow down the pace of your video and have a little bit longer of a video, people like that you're being yourself. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, you're the one who created this fake YouTube,
Yeah.
like, hype beast. Not hype beast, but like just ADHD pilled. You gotta go, super quick edits, super quick everything. And now you're like, hold on a second. This is bad. This is better. We should be doing this instead. It's like, oh my goodness.
But to play devil's advocate, like so like the one thing where I'm like catching myself in this own argument though is like ultimately like the best content should get the most exposure.
Yeah.
And I guess the counter argument to what we're saying here would be like if you use our channels as an example, if we're putting this much production quality and spending this much time and money on the videos, like would it then be fair for somebody who's just done like a 2 minute recording that's just slapped out to get as many views as us?
Yeah.
No. And so I guess there is a counter argument there. And ultimately, I do feel like what he's done like is just what every media establishment does. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, and I think it was probably going to happen no matter who did it,
Oh,
because all he's
100%.
done is like optimize like basic human attention like mechanisms. Like it's like, you know, people are interested for this long, lots of things moving on the screen. And listen, to his credit, like some of his ideas are really unique and interesting, and also he does just go bigger and bigger and bigger. And as a creator myself, like I do sometimes, if I watch one of his videos, I watch them from time to time,
Yeah.
and like I just see it and I just like, you've got to appreciate the level of detail in his edits. If you actually stop and you think about what you're seeing on screen, you realize that like, oh, just that dollar sign that flashed up on screen was an After Effects animation that probably took like 10 hours
Yeah.
just for a half second thing that flew past the screen. So like, as a creator, I really, really appreciate it. However, it's difficult because it is frustrating because it has created an era of just like absolute just brain rot content on YouTube.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, all he's done is really just make the most engaging video he can. So, like, I can't really criticize him for that,
It's like
but
late.
it's like, ugh, it's...
It's like the late stages of media. Any media is going to go through this where the beginning is sloppy and yet really inspired, and then slowly it gets more refined but a little bit more boring. Like for me personally, and I don't think I'm his target demographic that much anymore. I think he has definitely trended a little bit more to the younger side more and more recently, which is fine. Like that's where the money is. And on top of that, I think it's like just family friendliness in general will gain you more views. But I have to say, like, I've found his more recent videos kind of boring. Like in the past, even up, you know, his Squid Game stuff and stuff like that, I was like, this is really engaging content. This is interesting. I want to see what happens. I want to find out more. And then with it, it was like I survived on an island for 7 days or something was the last one. I watched like half of it and I just found myself being like, this is kind of boring.
They're quite weak, aren't they?
Yeah,
Like
like
the thing is, like they never seem like actually challenging or dangerous,
and they
really.
seem bored in it themselves. Like they're just kind of millionaires going through the motions now instead of like actually challenging themselves and doing something interesting. And I'm completely guilty of that as well. In some of my daily tactics videos, I will play the 10,000th, World War II battle, and I'm pretty good at the game now. Like it's not a challenge. And I'm just like, this is easy, going through the motions. I am guilty of that 100%. I'm just saying, I think he has evolved to the point where it is now becoming a little bit more corporate, and especially with all of his branding and stuff, and that is automatically going to become more cookie cutter and more boring as you become more corporate and more safe. He used to make really edgy jokes. He used to do really funny things and, throw shade at people and stuff like that. That made those videos enticing. Just the little things he would do within the bigger, broader thing. Now it's so cut, it's so perfected. I think it loses a little bit of that human element and it loses a little bit of the interest.
It's interesting you say that as well, because this is something I've literally been like contemplating recently with my Lego channel editor, Carly. Like I specifically said to her, like I got to the point where I was trying to like get the production quality of my Lego videos so high that I started to like script every like structure, not necessarily script, but script and structure everything down to like the second, and then it just lost the fun creative spark that I used to have in it, which is what makes it fun. So literally what I do now when I'm creating scripts and also structuring a video is I quite literally say to the editor, I'm like, right, here's roughly what I'm gonna try and do, and like here's the script that I'm gonna try and stick to. However, like I might just go off pace. Like I might just like, you know, if I feel like like spontaneous, like doing this, doing that, like or something pops up into my mind that I think might be more interesting, engaging or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like if even though it's not like within the structure, like I'm gonna do it anyway because I think it makes it more interesting and engaging for the video. But then the flip side of that is because it's less structured and less scripted, it's then much more difficult to actually edit and also create a process for, which particularly for smaller channels is difficult. And there's so much goes on behind the scene with these Lego production videos that I think a lot of people wouldn't have a clue about. No. But just like the you know, keeping engaging. Nobody wants to see me sit there for 4 hours like trying to figure out how to build a tank without any instructions.
Yeah.
These things behind me. These massive Type 59 tanks. Nobody wants to, like, they're huge and I haven't got instructions for them and half the parts are missing and I'm trying to figure out how to sort it. So I've got to figure out, how do I take this absolute mess that is like really frustrating and frankly just got me angry? How do I make this into an interesting video that somebody's going to enjoy and watch? And also, how do I try and make sure, because this is the thing, you're not just recording everything, because I can't send 100 hours of footage and like a terabyte of footage to the editor. Yeah. I've got to be like picking what I send. And so like there's so much structure and scripting that goes on. And if you overly do that, if you become too corporate and commercialized, which I feel like Mr. Beast has kind of got to that point, then you lose the soul of the video is missing. The soul of the creator is not in the video.
Yeah.
And recently with Mr. Beast, it's just been bigger. It's just like he's just gone full American. It's just bigger equals better.
Yeah.
Now to some extent it is, but it shouldn't just be bigger is better. It should be bigger for like the wow factor, but with a narrative flow and story.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to be careful here because at this point, it sounds like I'm providing advice on how to be a creator to Mr. Beast, who, seeing as I've got on my channels, like a quarter of a million subscribers between them, and he's got a lot more than that. And to be clear, Mr. Beast is 100% better than both of us at what he's doing. And he clearly knows what he's doing down to a T. But I do still think that point remains about just like losing the soul of the channel when you become too corporatized and too process driven. If everything is driven by process, there isn't enough opportunity for creativity. So it's kind of like when you create when somebody's like not very like spontaneous, but they plan times to be spontaneous. That would be maybe be like my solution to that would be like script in or create a structure for random chance and kind of creativity to unfold rather than everything down to the T.
I mean, the way I do it with my own videos, and again, you're totally right. Like, I'm not pretending I am better than him in the slightest, because he has had the exact, you know, best success you can get on YouTube. Like he's done it. He is it. That's like the best you can be.
Yeah, he's made it.
Like that. So, you know, for me, again, like you're right. I'm not even at a million subs on any channel. Like it can't be compared.
Ooh, what a noob.
I know. It's noob. Cringe. It's really cringe. So, you know, I get it. I don't think that, you know, doesn't make our points invalid or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just true. I think honestly, for younger people, those types of videos are perfectly fine because they don't expect more from that. Whereas I think we like authenticity a bit more because we're a little bit older and that's just what interests us a little bit more.
Hey, he's serving his audience, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose that could be. Yeah. But what I was doing is I was just preempting the angry comments we get below.
Yeah, just getting ready for the hate. I was
replying to them before they made them. Yeah.
Well,
what
I was going to say is
bring it on.
To your point, the way I try and do my videos is I have certain beats I want to hit. Like, I have certain things that I need to say in the video for it to flow, for it to actually be cohesive, and for it to make sense. And so it'll be like, okay, having this plot line happen, having this tank built then, having this character show up.
Yeah.
But then everything in between, I don't script my videos. I try and have these beats, and then everything in between is me trying to fill the gap in real time of like, oh, then this happens and this happens. And then due to this causes this. and trying to fill that creatively instead of just having
that's it interesting, yeah,
be one full thing.
Yeah.
So it's like these things need to happen, but getting there is up to whatever I can think of. And sometimes it works.
You've got an efficient process. You've got a very efficient process. And like I've always thought that like you have it's not just efficient. I would say it's effective, like in terms of quantity of content produced,
it's a lot.
To quality ratio is much higher than mine. But like, yeah. Even like your Lego stuff, like you produce a lot more and at decent quality,
yeah.
than I do. Like I produce probably higher quality stuff.
Yours is way higher.
Way less of
way
it.
Way higher quality.
Way less of it though. But I think yours might be the more effective strategy. To some extent, because my quality isn't high enough for it to be breakthrough algorithm quality. It's not there. And so it's like, it's basically like almost like wasted, because there's an escape velocity, right? That you can reach when you get your average watch time to a certain point where that video will just perform well no matter who watches it. I'm not there. And so a lot of my extra effort put in actually still gets me less views than you quite often. And so you've gotten a very effective process. And actually, my little brother was watching your videos. And one thing that he's been saying to me, and he's right, is he said to me, like, he's like, Daily's really good at creating a story and something that keeps you wanting to figure out what's happening next. Whereas mine quite often, like, I'm like very brutalist and pragmatic and practical. And so mine's just like, this is happening. And then this is happening, and then this is happening, and there's not enough of like a narrative flow through it, which is what like I definitely need to learn from you a little bit, like creating a bit of a story that actually ties it all together, rather than and something with like a story with personality, rather than so a story I don't mean is I'm going to build this D-Day mock,
yeah.
Instead of just a process of me building the mock, and that's a story. What I mean is like within that, you know, is there a minifigure that's moving through the build as it's being created, and you can right. actually track his like flow through it. So something that people can actually kind of like reflect on, what's the words? They can put themselves into that minifigure's shoes and kind of follow the story through it that way.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Whereas you've quite often got like a story narrative plot point that you can kind of actually track through it instead of just the build unfolding, which I think is very, very good because people can relate to that.
Yeah, I think it comes with like a pattern of familiarity. Like people like to recognize plot lines. People like to recognize
yeah.
references and stuff like that. And that's why like I have him here. This like little Jeff character that I spam in every video where it's just like the 21 Jump Street. My name is Jeff. Like that's, it's just like a meme that I really like. yeah, and I was like, all right, I'm going to make it a character. And it's in almost every one of my videos. And then for the first time in like 10 videos, yeah. he wasn't in it. And people are like, where is he? What happened? And it's
yeah, that's a really good point. It's a predictability, but
I think it's more familiarity.
Like, but unpredictable moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
but what I mean yeah. by that is like when I say predictability, what I mean like is a bad example of predictability would be I'm going to build this D-Day mock and people have seen it in the thumbnail
yeah.
of the video. And then so, like, they know what the end result is through the build. Or even if they hadn't seen it in a thumbnail, you know it's going to look like a D-Day mock.
Yeah.
However, if you've got a minifigure and a story unfolding, that could go an infinite number of directions, and you would never know without actually watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by predictability, is your story, like, that you create with your minifigures is much less predictable, and therefore more relatable or interesting, inherently interesting to the audience. But I like your, like, little, like, you got bits that you do. That My Name is Jeff type thing.
Yeah.
That's a good little idea. Well, I'm going to steal something like that.
Yeah, go for it, man. I mean, I think, honestly, your quality content is up there. Okay, Plastic Scott versus Daily Tactics, there's an obvious difference. Daily Tactics is more of a Let's Play channel. There's very little editing involved
yeah.
beyond sound editing and occasional cuts and stuff like that. Plastic Scott is like a piece of art every video. It's well-crafted, fun. It's fantastic, dude. Like, you do great content, and I really think you continue to do that content consistently with bigger and better ideas every time. You will grow into one of those 1 million view every single video channels, like, guaranteed.
Mm.
I think your Lego channel also, I think it's better quality than Daily Bricks, and I think you are very good at orchestrating video production. Like, if that makes sense. I think for myself...
It takes me a million years to...
like,
carry on.
I feel like you are, like, this dude, the head of an orchestra, putting all the pieces together, knowing what shots you need, when to put it in, being good with the narrative and stuff like that. Whereas me, I feel like I approach a project... Excuse me. I approach a project with, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to get it done. And I'm going to film the whole thing, and that's what I'm doing. Whereas you have such a better, broader stroke where you're able to see the project from like a third eye. And just, this is what I get from watching your videos. And you get to explain to the viewer so much better than I do what's happening. And it feels so much more simple when I watch your video. And it's an elaborate project, but it just feels like it's like, I get it. But with mine, I need a little bit of time to get people there, I think. And sometimes I lose people because I'm like, all right, now I'm going to do this. So, but then, now I'm going to do this. And like, I just think your overarching videos have such a good explanation to them. They're simple yet elaborate. They're easy to understand, and yet there's depth to them. And that's something I think I've tried to do more of, especially with my intros. I'm trying to do little intros, 30 seconds of just like, this is what's happening. This is what you can look forward to. This might happen. Check it out. I think you've nailed it.
The first 10 seconds. First 10 seconds is make or break.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a pitch, but my counterpoint to that would be, and I don't want this to come across as just us scratching each other's back, but my counterpoint to that, and in reality, like, we both have our own individual strengths, and we've got a really good friendship where we, which is quite rare on YouTube, I will also add. YouTube can be quite a toxic, competitive place
where
where people want you to fail, because like, if you succeed, it's like they feel like you're taking away from them.
Yeah.
We have just never had that. And we've always had like an honest critical eye with each other, which I really appreciate, which is why we can be so honest about each other's thumbnails, like, for example, earlier on, and it makes it more fun and enjoyable. But like, I do think there are strengths to each other's like method of production, and I think we're constantly learning from each other.
Yeah.
And to be quite frank, anyone who watches my Scott's Plastic Lego channel, and I suppose anyone who's listening to this, will have Daily Bricks to thank for that, because literally Daily started a Lego channel. I've always liked Lego, and I thought, I want to do that, and I literally messaged Daily, and I said to him, by the way, I'm copying your idea, and I'm making a Lego channel. And I can't remember what you made, some little like joke about it, that kind of thing. And so people actually commented on my like videos, like, oh, are you just copying Daily? And I was just like, yes.
To your credit, yes. I think you asked. I think you at first were like, I'm doing this, and then you were like, but for real, is it cool? And I was like, of course, yeah.
Right.
But I mean, the thing is, I think a lot of people don't realize this, and this is something I learned from Mr. Beast, of course. Is competition doesn't kill you on YouTube. It helps you. If people are doing the same idea you're doing and they like it, they are going to click on your video. I have had this experience where I've uploaded a video that no one has ever done before on YouTube and it flops. And then 3 months later, four more people have done that video and all of a sudden it picks up. Competition helps people. It does not kill it.
Yeah.
And
people have a famine mindset. Like, they have this like concept that like, if you do something, if you watch somebody else's video, then it means that you're never gonna get that view. And like, there are certain instances where that might be relevant. Say somebody's covering a brand new game and is a hyper competitive, like, somebody get your review of the game out first. Fine, there is going to be a certain level of competitiveness to that sort of element. But when you're just talking about like green content, like evergreen content that can just be watched, you know, for example, let's say you do a D-Day video, and then like 4 months later, I do a D-Day video. Like, my D-Day video is not gonna like flop and die because Daily did it 4 months ago. People aren't gonna be like, I watched a D-Day Lego video 4 months ago and I'm never going to watch one again. If anything, it means that anyone who's watching Daily's Lego D-Day video then in the suggested results or like the watch suggestions for that viewer, they're more likely then going to be suggested my video as a result of having watched something similar to that. I think people have got this like famine mindset, and you and I have encountered YouTubers personally who have had this mindset.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just like, yeah, I won't go into too much detail about that, but it's jarring. It's so jarring. It's just a shame as well, because it's like it forces them into this like isolated mindset where, for example, they just end up being entirely isolated and then stop creating content because they lose the fun and the joy of it. Whereas I've been trying to slowly build you into as many of my Lego videos as possible.
Dude, I love it.
Daily's just featured at the end of my videos, basically just to slander me. Just gets on there and slanders me.
Dude,
so I'm getting my own back here today.
I don't even care, because I love it. It's really fun to like make fun of you.
Yeah, and I'm an easy target.
That's just the best.
Also, I don't think so. A lot of my viewers are like only Lego channel viewers, yeah. And I don't. So obviously, they won't have known that we've known each other for years, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there were genuinely like a group of people where you featured on my first Lego video, and the first thing you did was just you came in hot and fast and just with like a like an absolute brutal put down, and like just absolutely dunking on my work. Yeah. And I think like people probably wouldn't have understood the context there. They probably will have thought like, Daily, bro, that was wide. What are you doing? Just come in, like first time conversation. Yeah, your build is crap. It's bad.
What they don't understand is there's tens of hours of us live streaming together where you are roasting the ever living shit out of me. And so, you know, it's just...
You deserve it.
Yeah.
For a reason.
To be fair, that's true. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to be reciprocated.
Remember?
Yeah, dude, Tab G was brutal.
It was so funny, man. It was so funny. It's just like, it was just me screaming for revives the whole time. But you kept on team killing me, bro. You could not help yourself. Dude, you kept on grenading
that
me.
That game is ripe for team killing. It's not even like on purpose. Also, that game is so broken now. Landfall is a dumpster fire of a company.
Yeah, Tabs, mate, as well. I don't even want to. Let's not get into that. We can get into
that's
that
another
in the next
episode.
Podcast,
that's
which
another
remember,
episode.
Yeah, remember, you should be subscribing to this podcast. We've been talking about Lego, YouTube, the channels, everything. If you are enjoying this Lego podcast, do subscribe. Remember, it is a requirement, and deserters will be shot. So,
No step
just
back.
Want to make sure the expectations were set. There. Exactly. Yeah, we're setting the standard in the first episode, so that when we come back, if we notice that there's a viewer drop-off, we'll hunt down those individuals who haven't returned, and they will be dealt with.
Every episode
needs to
grow.
Which I think is a good place to leave it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. and on that...
Every episode needs to be better than the last one.
If you don't hit the like button, Scott will hunt you down.
Also, what we should say is we want you to comment. So we're going to start in the process of joining the military. We are going to be replying to your comments. If you've got any questions for myself or Daily about any of our channels, about any of our videos, you got any suggestions for us for videos, any questions about our process, or, you know, we're going to start doing like giveaways and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Get involved in the comments down below. We're going to be reading comments from this podcast in the next podcast. We're going to be doing this every single week. We're probably going to be producing clips from it and all that kind of stuff too. So
yeah,
please do get as involved as you can, and join both of our Discords and subscribe to both of our channels.
Pretty much every
every just do all the things.
Every comment section is basically like a free ball Q&A, and we might answer your questions in the next episode if they're good and if they make for good topics. So just continue to ask stuff, because you might be featured and we'll read your name and all that stuff. And on top of that, do we want to do a mock contest for episode 2, or are we going to save that? Because that was one of our ideas.
It was one of our ideas. Let's save that for the questions at the end of the next one.
Okay.
Let's first get like initial questions, and so we can go through some initial questions from this one.
Yeah.
And then we can maybe issue the challenge at the end of the next one. So yeah, if you want to take part in the mock contest, make sure you're looking at, because we'll be reviewing this live on a podcast together. We'll be going through your mocks and all that kind of stuff. So make sure you listen to the next podcast and subscribe. And I think at that point we shall leave it there, and we'll catch you next week. Thank
Sounds
you
good.
For
Thanks.
Listening.